If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 30 for our scripture reading this morning. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Waiting for Christmas. We know that children have difficulty having the kind of patience to wait for Christmas Day to come. I've seen them go and shake the boxes, try to listen and see if there's anything that would give them a clue, a hint as to what was in the package. We know that they have difficulty waiting for Christmas. There's an example, and it's entitled, "Now It Was My Turn." Curtis Bradford, he was a pastor in Charleston, South Carolina. And when he was 7 years of age, he crawled into bed on Christmas Eve so excited that he just couldn't hardly sleep. Well, he pretended to be asleep, and he lay there until he felt comfortable that his parents were already snoring. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning when he crept downstairs. Then under the Christmas tree were his presents. There was a drum set that beckoned him to play, but he thought better of that. But he found other gifts that he could play with. There was a cowboy outfit. There was a set of six shooters, a puppet. Filled with excitement, he emptied the stockings, began eating the candy, the apples, and the oranges, when suddenly, hearing a noise, he turned around, and to his surprise, there was his daddy looking sternly down at him. For a fleeting moment, Curtis was afraid and showed some real consternation. And he said, after a little bit, though, Dad broke into a smile and sat into the recliner. And he listened while Curtis showed him everything, explaining to him how the six shooters worked, how the puppet moved its mouth. Sleep soon came upon him. His dad picked him up and carried him upstairs tenderly, tucked him into bed. The next morning, they had a wonderful Christmas, but Curtis said, "I'll never forget that Christmas Eve." The years flew by. And on another memorable Christmas, Curtis found himself again at his father's side. This time the older man lay paralyzed from an automobile accident and weak from cancer. Treatments, therapy, and experimental drugs had taken its toll. He was weighing less than 100 pounds and was in great pain. But despite his pain, he asked if Curtis would dress him. So that he could watch the family open their presents. He wanted a clean shaven face, so Curtis lathered the shaving mug up and he brushed it and got the razor out to shave his dad. The old man told him how his beard grew this way and that, and how he had to turn the razor one way and then the other in order to shave him. After the shave, Curtis dressed his dad and carried him to the den where the family waited. He was able to sit there for almost 15 minutes before his joy turned to almost unbearable pain. Then his eyes filled with tears. He asked Curtis to carry him back to bed. Gently, the strong adult son gathered the frail man into his arms. And Curtis later said, as I made my way to his bedroom, I recall the night many years before when he carried me. To my bedroom after our private Christmas showing. Now it was my turn to carry him. Tears ran down Curtis's face as he nestled his dad back into bed, and seeing the tears, the old man pointed to a tape recorder that was beside the bed. Curtis turned it on. They listened to the Bible readings. It was on John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Silently, Curtis thanked God for saving him and for saving his father, for giving them both the moments together, for those times when the Lord had carried them both. He thanked God. 2 days later, Curtis's dad passed away, but the memories are precious rather than painful. Because of Jesus, whose birth we celebrate on Christmas, and who died to save those who believe in him. He said, I know that I will see my Father again. Oh, what a reunion that will be. Well, there's one man, an elder gentleman, if you will, who waited for Christmas with the greatest of expectancy, and his name was Simeon. The story of Jesus' birth shows us that when religious leaders and institutions are corrupt, God still has a remnant. God still has a faithful few that are prepared for his coming. Simeon shows us how to prepare our hearts for Christmas. Notice the character of those who wait for Christmas this morning. Most of the people on that day, they missed the significance of that first Christmas. Oh, there's the political leaders, there's the religious leaders that didn't even know what was going on or what was happening. I can tell you that many in our city, many in our country don't even know what the day of Christmas means, but not Simeon. He had seen and he had understood the mighty acts of God on that first Christmas. He lived daily in expectancy that God was somehow about to intervene, to interrupt history and reveal himself to a lost and dying world. We need to evaluate this morning our own spiritual expectancy. Would to God that all of us could be so excited about celebrating the birth of Christ more so than opening the gifts. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Spirit of God had given him a revelation that he was not going to die until he saw the Christ, the Savior of the world. And the Bible said, moved by the Holy Spirit of God, he was led into the temple area. Simon saw the baby, picked him up in his arms, and he blessed him. He was the first person to receive Christ. He was the first person to celebrate Christmas. Oh, what a wonderful day that it was. But the thing that impresses me is that he was moved by the Holy Spirit of God at the right time to come to the right place that he might find Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, the Holy Spirit still leads and directs men to where they can find Christ precious to their soul. And if there's any here this morning, the Holy Spirit is here today. And he directs you to come, and he'll point you to the way, and he'll meet you here at the altar where you can find salvation for your soul. Well, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the right place, the right time to Joseph and Mary and the Christ. The Holy Spirit still leads us, and we need to point people to Christ as Christians. When he saw him, he took him in his arms, he blessed him, and he said, "Lord, I'm ready to depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. I'm ready to go home." Our God is a God who keeps his promises. I think we all appreciate that fact. In fact, our entire relationship with God depends on his faithfulness to his promises. And they tell us that there are 73 specific prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of Christ that were fulfilled when he came. You want to know that it's all real? Just know that the prophecies that were prophesied hundreds and even thousand years before came to pass just the way they were prophesied. It just reminds me of the fact that God has given us a great salvation. And he wants everybody to enjoy his salvation. And he extends the invitation to all to come and to be with him in glory. This morning, the Lord has given us a very special gift. It is a special gift that he's given to all the world, not just a few. It is the gift of salvation. And he extended this gift to all. The Bible said the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want us to open the gift this morning. Virginia asked me how I was going to open the gift. I said, I'm going to do like any other man. I'm going to rip it apart. You know, we need to see what's in the gift box. I can tell you this morning that when Jesus Christ came and died upon the cross of Calvary for our sins, our lives were black. This really just reveals the fact of the blackness of our own sins. And the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but God didn't want us to die lost. And so he sent his son in the fullness of time to make atonement for the sins of all the world. He died for us, didn't he? He shed his lifeblood to where that blood, if we receive him as our Savior, covers the blackness of our sin and makes us to where that we're as white as snow. Though our sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Doesn't look like a whole lot, But I'm telling you, it's the greatest gift. The greatest gift that you'll ever have. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who loves us? And 2,000 years ago, he revealed the love that he had for us when he sent his son born of a virgin to live among us for 33 years for the purpose of making atonement for our sin, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He shed his lifeblood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So I rejoice today that we have a Savior. Amen. That we have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, I rejoice. Yes. That we can celebrate Christmas because of him. Will you bow with me for prayer, please?